Lions in the house? No. Rams. Do we have any Rams fans? That's good. No Rams fans here. And how many people are excited about the big game after church today? Well, okay. Okay, well, let's get our minds off of those things for just a little bit here. And we're going to hear the word of God today. You guys are kind of distracting, though. I have to admit, I kind of feel like I'm at a Seahawks game right now. So this is amazing. I kind of feel like Russell Wilson a little bit. So I kind of look like him, don't I? Yeah. Maybe the field goal kicker. Okay. But hey, it's great to be in church today. I just want to give a quick announcement. Right after church, we have a lot of construction that just happened over at Kids Safari, and we remodeled the whole kitchen. We're actually still in the process of it, and so we had some guys help with that. It's pretty exciting. I know the ladies over at Kids Safari are excited. Am I right about that?
Yes.
And so we just need like 3 or 4 guys right after church to head over to Kids Safari building and help out with moving some things. That would be really good. Guys or gals, whoever you want, just right after service. Can I get 3 or 4 people to raise their hand for that right now? Okay, we got 1, 2, thank you, 3, 4. There we go. Boom. Thank you very much. All right, so right after church we'll be doing that. But today we're going to be getting into the Word of God. So let me pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for your living word. Father, we thank you that it challenges us, that it really has the ability to transform our lives. This morning, as we're listening to your word, God, I pray that it penetrates deep. Lord, that we allow it to really move on our spirit. In your name, amen. All right, we're getting ready to go into the new year. And at the new year time, everybody's talking about New Year's resolutions, am I right? How many people have kind of already thought about your New Year's resolutions? Okay, well, a little bit. Well, it's kind of that time, all right? So you need to get on it. But as we're talking about New Year's resolutions, there's one particular thought that I wanted to bring up today. And this is a scripture that a lot of us have heard and a lot of us see it everywhere, especially, today. You'll be watching the Hawks game and there's a good chance that you'll see somebody with this blazoned on their face. Philippians 4:13. You've heard it before. What does it say? He says, this is Paul. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We love that verse. We love it so much as a culture. It really just speaks. And the movie Unbroken is out right now. Has anybody seen the movie Unbroken? It's about the human spirit and the unrelenting human ability to really overpower all kinds of evil and all kinds of trials, to face the greatest challenges of life. And, in our culture, we love these kind of stories. We love the stories of heroes who have really gone through the darkest and the most difficult of times, and they've persevered. And it speaks to us on a human level. On a human level, we want to say, yes, I can do it. I am capable of that if I dig down deep enough. And we love admiring other people that have done those sort of things. But today, I want to bring it back into perspective. Because what Paul is saying here, he's saying, I can do all things. And lots of times we just leave it at that. And we say, okay, yes, if you put your mind to it, you can do all things. There is enough power within you if you're able to access it deep enough. If you dig deep, you can find the strength. And I want to tell you today that that's not the whole story, is it? Because oftentimes we leave out the last part of this verse. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many people have ever misapplied this verse? I know that I have. I have a lot, actually. And sometimes it actually works, okay? And I want to give you an example of that. When I was younger, I wasn't the best swimmer, okay? I was able to run really far and really long, but I was never able to swim very well. I remember when we would go to the lake, they never really let me in the deep end because, I was kind of the doggy paddle, kind of backstroke, kind of just trying to float. One time I played water polo with my friends, and the rule on water polo is you're not allowed to touch the sides of the pool. Well, I remember I would just stood there just floating And then the ball landed next to me, and I was like, oh, great. And about 2 seconds later, all these people were dunking me in the water. And so I was never really able to swim that great. But I went to this school in Colorado, Bible College, and swimming was a part of the regiment. And so we had to swim. The very first day we got there, they said, okay, we want to see how great you can swim. So we're going to time you on a mile, and we want to see how fast you can do the mile in. And I was like, wait, 36 laps is a mile? Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go for it. I remember I was the very first one out of the pool. I lasted about 6 minutes. I think I did about a lap and a half. And so I was in this program. We'd have to swim all the time, and I just suffered. And it was the hardest thing for me because I could run all day. I was the best runner in the program. I took a lot of pride in my athleticism. And then I'd get in that pool, and I couldn't even move. I think one time I swam backwards. And I was with my friend, the director one time, and he said, hey, Justin, here's what we're going to do. We are going to teach you how to conquer this. And I fought it, and I fought it. And he took me into the pool, and I remember, he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do 4 laps, down and back, down and back, down and back, without stopping once, and you're going to keep the proper form, and you're never going to keep your head above water longer than the whatever 2 strokes you need to. Do we have any swimmers here? And I said, okay, well, I'm just going to go for it. And I went for it, and a lot of attitude started coming out of me. And I'll tell you, I was in that pool for about 4 hours, and I was just miserable. And my friend, he would not let me out of the pool. And I just wanted to go, and I was so mad at my friend. I was so mad at this whole circumstance. And he said, okay, hey, how about this, Justin? He said, how about we pray? And I didn't even want to pray because I knew what that would mean was that I would have to rely on God's strength, and that meant that I would have to finish it. And I just remember standing there in the pool, just totally defeated, and I just said, God, would you grant me the strength to be able to do this? I don't have it within myself. And I'll tell you what, it was a total miracle. I swam the 4 laps, and then about 3 weeks later, I completed an Ironman triathlon. I swam 2.5 miles, and I just had to overcome something. I had to overcome the psychological block in my brain about swimming. Now, we hear those kind of stories, and we think, okay, God, wow, you're so good. You let, you know, you give people athletic ability that they wouldn't have and all that stuff. Now, I really believe that God is involved in every aspect of our lives. I believe that he gives us strength for every single thing that we need. Some of you are in a job that you don't like. You're in a position in life that you don't really enjoy. But God gives you strength for those things. He gives you strength all the time. He gives you strength to get out of bed. He gives you strength to take care of yourself, to take care of your family. He gives you strength to continue to put one step in front of the other. He's always given you strength. And what a good God that is. What a good God he is, that he's always involved in our lives. Let's think about this for a second, that God would be so involved in our lives is a miracle in and of itself. Here's God, the God of the whole entire universe. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of these videos that kind of show how insignificant planet Earth is in comparison to the rest of the universe. Well, it kind of, you know, it starts out and it shows the sun compared to, it shows the Earth compared to some of the other planets in our solar system and how small we are compared to Mars and how small we are compared to some of the other planets. And then it shows the sun. And then now the Earth is looking really small. And so you think, wow, the sun in our solar system is so massive. How could anything be more massive? And then they show you the very next star. And the very next star makes our sun look like a tiny pebble. And then they show the very next sun after that, and it makes the sun that made our sun look like a tiny pebble look like a tiny pebble. And then it continues to go, and you think, how is this possible? The universe is so expansive, and there's a God who is over all of that. And it's a God who, with the very sound of his voice, created it. He said it, and it happened. In 6 days, he created the stars, he created the heavens, he created the earth, he created everything in it, every living thing, every creature. He created it all. And do we have any science geeks here? A couple. Well, lately I've kind of been into science, okay, because I'm into community gardening now, okay? We have a community garden. I've never wanted to garden in my whole life, but we need to provide food for our community, so now I'm a gardener. And I've been researching all these gardening strategies. And there's one interesting component of all gardeners. It's an essential ingredient if you want to actually have good produce. And it's you need pollinators, right? You need pollinators. You need bees. You need things that are going to fly from one plant, and they're going to attract all kinds of pollen, and then they're going to stick it in another plant. They don't really know what they're doing. They're just kind of based on survival, but it's an important element if you actually want to grow anything and get fruit, okay? And so I've been researching this bee. It's called a mason bee. Has anybody heard of mason bee? Okay, some of you have. Mason bees. And I'm so amazed. I got this book, and it's by an author written in the mid-1800s, and this man was actually friends with Charles Darwin, and he just had a completely different perspective. He did the same kind of studies on the mason bee that Charles Darwin did on birds, but he came to a totally different conclusion. So rather than looking at just nature, rather than looking at evolution, he pointed it all to a creator. And he pointed it all in saying, a mason bee was created, but it doesn't have a soul. But it's incredible when we realize everything that a mason bee can do. A mason bee, it actually creates its very own nest just through its saliva, and then it attracts pebbles and different things, and it creates a nest that is rock solid. And it lives inside of that little nest that it makes for itself. You can take a mason bee 2 miles, this is what this guy did in this book. He took it 2 miles away from its nest, and within 40 minutes, the same mason bee had found its tiny little nest, and it was back inside of it with a bunch of pollen that it had already collected. It's a pretty amazing thing. It's like a homing pigeon. So this is what the guy did. He took the nest, and he moved it just 1 foot over. Just 1 foot over. And this mason bee, he flies out, or he drives it out 2 miles, brings it back, and it comes back to that exact same spot where the nest was, and there's no nest. What's going on? And this mason bee can't figure out what to do. And it looks around. It even looks at its old nest, but it doesn't recognize it because it only recognizes this one tiny half inch of space that it knew was its home. Now, he could put other nests right in that exact same spot, and the mason bee would find that other nest, and it would just assume that it was its own nest, and so it would start building on it no matter what phase it was in. And it is an amazing thing. And so you start looking at nature, and you start looking at the universe and the expanse and everything that God created, and it points to the fact that there is somebody who is over this. It says in Romans 1 that God has revealed himself through his invisible qualities, that everything that is made, everything that was created, it points to him. And so for you to say that there is no God, well, you are now without any excuse, because all you have to do is study nature. You just have to look around. You have to see the trees and the sky and the moon and how everything works in total equilibrium and how everything is very functional. And you say, there is a creator. I am without excuse. I cannot say that there is no God. I can come up with all these theories, all these reasons of how it happened. But in the end, it has to come down to one simple idea that there is someone who is in charge of this. And so this is the God that is over all of the planet, that he sets everything in motion, every living being. And yet this, he cares for you. And he knows you. He knows the amount of hairs on your head. He knows every thought that you have. He knows every struggle that you deal with. He knows every concern. And guess what? He doesn't just know them, but he actually cares. And he walks with you, and he knows you. And he desires relationship with you. In Psalm 8, the psalmist is looking at how majestic God is and how phenomenal of a king he is, that he would rule over the whole universe. And he says this in Psalm 8:3. He said, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" When we look at the expanse of the universe and we say, God, why is it that you care? But he does. And he loves you, and he supplies strength for all of your needs. That in and of itself is an amazing thing. So when we look at Philippians 3:14, we say, God who strengthens me. There is a God who loves you and who supplies all that you need. Now, let's kind of talk about the context of this verse a little bit here in Philippians. So it's not related to all things, right? I mean, we could say, okay, you can go for all things. You can do it. Whatever you would like to do, you can do it. And this is what King Nebuchadnezzar said. King Nebuchadnezzar, in the Old Testament, he looked at his kingdom and he looked at everything that he had built. And he said, wow, I built this with my very own hands. And I'm going to continue it. I'm going to continue in dominance. And then what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar? God shut him down. God said, no, everything that you have is from me. You thought you were building this on your own, but everything that you have ever done is because I have given it to you. And so he shut him down, and he actually made him go crazy. He lost his kingship, and for 7 years, he lived in the wilderness. He lived, and he actually says that he became almost like a werewolf. He had nails that were just really long and hair coming out everywhere, and everybody thought he was just a total loon, and he just got exiled from his community. And then 7 years later, God broke him down. God humbled King Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, okay, God, I now understand that everything comes from you, that I can do nothing on my own. And that was when God exalted him again. And God said, I'm going to put you back into the kingship. And he gave him even more than he had initially. God does the same thing with us in our lives. We go on sometimes and we think that we have what it takes, that we made ourselves successful, that the product that where I am right now is the product of all of my decisions that I've ever made in my life. I can only give myself credit. I worked hard for this. But God says, no, I am the one who supplied you everything that you need. You see, God gives us the ability in Philippians 4:11, Paul here, he's referring to all things. What is he talking about? He says this in 11 through 12. He says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, the only reason that I'm able to actually be content in any circumstance that I find myself in, it's not because of my own faculties. It's not because of my own ability. It's simply this, because through Christ, I can face anything. So I can go through deep times of total hunger, total depravity, but I can also go through times where I'm in abundance, where I am rich. And I know this, that God is the one who grants me the strength to remain content. How many people know that no matter what you have, you still have to learn to be content. You can have everything that you ever dreamed of. You can win the lottery. You can have it all. You can have the best spouse. You can have the greatest family. You can have all the money in the world, and yet you can still be without contentment. Because there's something to our human nature that is always desiring more. It's always desiring different. It's always desiring better. Always. It says in Proverbs, it says that the human eye, it is never satisfied. It always wants more. And so you think, oh, if I just get this one thing, if I just have it in my grasp, then I will be happy. Then I will be content. Then I will have it, and life will be just amazing. And then you get that thing, and you realize this isn't all of it. This isn't it. This is a big lie, actually. Everybody told me that if I had this thing, this is advertising, if you get this, you will look like this person. You will be as happy as they are. You'll be a model like them. You'll be attractive. People will want to be around you. You'll be partying. It shows images of people at the casino, and they're like, ha-ha. You know, they're loving life. If you go to the gamble, and how many people actually have been to casinos, and you go in there, and what do you find? You find a lot of people that are actually kind of depressed, right? And they're just the slot machines. Now, there are some people that know how to go in and actually have a good time. But there's a lot of people that are looking for something. They're searching for something, and they haven't found it. And this is the human condition. And so for Paul to say that he knows how to experience everything in life and to be totally content, he says that's only possible through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we can look at it as contentment, but we can also look at every single thing that Christ has asked of us that he gives us strength for. Anything that you can find in Scripture, Christ gives you strength to do it. Okay, so we read this Scripture, and it's challenging, and it's hard, and a lot of it is difficult, and you say, how is that possible? How is it possible that I can't even have a bad thought towards my brother? How is that possible? Or you say, okay, how is it possible I don't even look at somebody lustfully? How is it possible I don't have an ounce of greed within me? How is it possible I don't have an ounce of jealousy in me or bitterness or any of those things? And you say, yeah, this Bible, okay, it's a good idea, but really, is any of this possible? Well, let me tell you, it is not on your very own. It absolutely isn't. You can strive. You can aim for perfection. You can do everything that you can try your very, very hardest. But you know what? Without Christ, it's impossible. Without Christ, all the instructions here, you'll never be able to fulfill. It's through Christ alone who gives you strength. It's through Christ alone who helps you carry through everything that he's called you to. It is through him and him alone. You see, knowing Christ, it carries us through some of the most difficult times, through hardships and through trials. Now, how many people are like me, and you can kind of get caught up in your own problems, right? Okay, but let's be honest. Our problems compared to other people's problems sometimes are like, you can't even compare them. But we get so concentrated on our own problems. I want to give you a little story. I work at Harvest House, the food pantry, and there was a woman who was coming in a couple of years ago, and she was receiving food from us, and she asked me to pray with her because her husband was sick. And I prayed with her, and she was crying, and I didn't really know the extent of what was going on. She just told me her husband was sick, but I could tell that it was something severe. And so I prayed with her, and she started coming a little bit more, getting food, and now things have changed for this woman. I don't know what, but her income has changed or something, and she's now no longer taking food. She actually is giving, and she's given us gifts all the time. We see her in the offices regularly, and so she invited me to her house to meet her husband. So I went over to her house. She doesn't live very far from here, and I went and I saw them, and she's the sweetest woman. She gave me more gifts as soon as I arrived, and she said, hey, I want you to meet my husband, and I kind of looked back, and I saw her husband. And he's laying on a bed in front of the TV. And all the windows are totally blocked in. And it's a hospital bed. And she said, yeah, this is my husband. He has ALS. I started to get an idea of how serious the sickness was that she was talking to me about a couple of years before. And I go over to this man, and he's not very old. He's only mid-50s. Yet this man has been bedridden for 10 years with ALS. He can't even lift his head. We were trying to have a conversation, and he was running out of oxygen as he's having a conversation. I accidentally made him laugh because I'm really funny, you know, and it's a problem I have. I do it a lot. That was a good laughter thing, okay. And he couldn't even lift his head. All he can really do is watch TV. His wife could read to him. His wife could talk to him, and that was all he had. And I went over to his bed, and I held his hand, and I said, hey, man, you know, we're starting to talk, and I said, I got to be honest with you. I said, sometimes I get so wrapped up in my own problems. You know, I just think that my problems are, and he cuts me off right there. He says, I don't have problems. He said, God is good to me. He said, God has blessed me. I was so humbled by this. Here's a man, he's 55, he hasn't moved in 10 years, and yet he says, God is good to me. God has blessed me tremendously. And I think, how is that possible? How could a man who goes through such extreme suffering be able to say those things? And I have to point to one thing. I said, this is Christ who strengthens you. This is Christ who enables you to walk through the most difficult things. And it's an important reminder for me now. I mean, ever since that moment, whenever I face any kind of silly trial that isn't even really a trial, my friend was teasing me the other day about my trials. He said, it sounds like you have it pretty rough. And it was a good reminder, but man, I think about every kind of suffering. God grants us the ability to walk through all sorts of trials, all sorts of hardships. We even think about the martyrs, okay? Now, we don't have a lot of persecution here that goes on in the United States. Now, at some point, that might be a little bit different. But we think about the Christian martyrs and some of their stories. Some of the people that were kind of the bedrock for our faith, who really walked through the fire in helping Christianity be so free and be so welcome in the Western culture. I was reading Charles Spurgeon, and he's writing about some of these martyrs. And he says this, when good John Bradford, the London martyr, was told by his keeper that he was to be burned on the morrow, he took off his cap and said, "I heartily thank my God." And when John Noyes, another martyr, was just about to be burned, he took up a piece of firewood and kissed it and said, "Blessed be God that he has thought me worthy of such high honor as this." And it is said of Roland Taylor that when he came to the fire, he actually, it was written that he fetched a frisk, by which he means he began to dance when he came to the flames at the prospect of the high honor of suffering for Christ. Wow. How is that possible? How could anybody endure such persecution to the point where they were being led to their death and they were excited? They considered it an honor to be suffering the same way that Jesus suffered. How is that possible? Do you have that kind of strength? I sure don't. I don't have it within me. I get pricked in any kind of persecution, and I'm like, I run away scared. But I'll tell you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ who gives me strength to walk through every trial, to walk through every persecution. He gives me the ability. Now, some of you have gotten involved in ministry to some degree. And as you start to walk out in ministry, as you start to step out, you start to serve in the church, you start to find that you're kind of in a battle now. You just entered the battlefield. And there's a real enemy who's after you. And he's out to discourage you and to bring you down in every possible way. And so you've entered, and this is what you've started to notice. You started to notice that some of your friends have abandoned you. You started to notice that your family resents you. You started to notice that those that you're serving aren't really that grateful. You start to fail others in meeting their expectations for you. You start to notice all these temptations that are flying at you from every direction, trying to pull you away and steer you away. You notice the distractions of life, your job. You notice all these things start to weigh down heavier and heavier on you. They attempt to swallow you and make you ineffective in your Christian service. You notice that you're facing fierce attacks from the enemy. And I'm telling you today that this is the battle. And it is Christ alone who gives you strength to walk through those things. And yet, as you go through those things, then you continue to serve. You continue because you know that Christ is with you. And just as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 23, when he says this, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me in the presence of my enemies." You know that God is with you. You know that he's guiding you. You know that he's winning the battles for you, and you allow him to do the work. Because without the strength of Christ, if you step into any kind of ministry, if you step out in any Christian service, it won't be long until you get burned out. It won't be long until you phase out. It won't be long until you leave hurt, disillusioned, because you're entering into a battlefield. Now, I'm asking you this, if you're not facing any of these things, if you don't face any of these things that I just talked about, maybe it's because you're not in the battlefield. Because you've chosen comfort, you've chosen coziness over winning a war. You've chosen to live in a world that is safe, a world that is sheltered, a world that is bubbled. And God is telling you to step out, to make a difference. He's called you out of the darkness and into the light. Why would he do that? So that you can be a light for others, so that you can be a light to your community, so that you can be a light for your family. He's asking you to get out of this comfort zone that you found yourself in, this safety. And he said, "Trust me as I give you strength, as I give you strength upon strength." Jesus said this, what a good reminder for us. He says, "If the world hates you, know this, that it hated me first." Sometimes we feel like the world is just against us. Oh, the world hates me today. The world hates me. Jesus says, if the world hates you, it hated me first. So take comfort in that. Take comfort knowing that he has gone before you, that he faced every single temptation, that he faced every single trial just as you faced, and he overcame them. John said this, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, in this world you will have persecution, but take heed, for I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome it. He conquered death. He conquered sin. So all these things that we feel so weighed down by, Jesus said, I have already won them, and I give you the strength. Okay, some of you, though, with Christian service, you start to look at your own abilities, your own capabilities, and you say, I can never do anything like that. You say, I don't know how to speak. I don't know what I would say. If I ever stepped out and I ever maybe spoke to that person about Christ, if I ever served in this area, I mean, look at me. I'm not really capable of doing a whole lot. And this is actually a decent attitude because Jesus says this, okay, you in and of yourself cannot do it, but I will grant you the ability. You now have full reliance on me and I will give you strength. We see a great example of this in scripture, Moses. We all just adore Moses, and there's this movie out right now about Moses. I don't think it does. I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't have an accurate description of Moses. All I saw was, what's that guy's name, the actor? Christian Bale, and he's on his horse, and he's riding in a battle, and he's just like, argh! Okay, well, what they don't know about Moses, what this movie probably doesn't capture, is that Moses said that he was the most humble man on earth. He was the most humble man, and that he actually didn't even want to do the talking when it came to releasing the Israelites out of Egypt. He didn't want to talk to Pharaoh. He was scared. He said, have my cousin Aaron do the talking. He said, I don't know how to talk. He had like a speech impediment. The man stuttered. And God was calling him to go lead 650,000 Israelites out of Egypt. Now, if you look at the life of Moses, what was God's intention with Moses from the very start? Was to get him to a point to where he thought that he can do it on his own, and he attempted to do it on his own. But then God crushed him. God broke him down, and God said, no, Moses, now you're going to rely on me. You're not going to be able to do it in your own strength, Moses. Now you will find strength in me. And so 40 years Moses spent in the desert, and the process was simply him being broken down to a point to where he was now useful for God's kingdom. And it's the same with you in your life. God's intention for you is to be broken to a point to where you would say, okay, God, I don't have what it takes, and I need your help. I need you to guide me. My life now is yours. Some of you look and you realize that you don't have the ability, you don't have the capacity to love as God has called you to love. There's people in your life that are very unlovely. There's people in your life that have hurt you. They've done damage against you. People in your own family. Some of you are just reminded about that at Christmas time, about the pain that you have in your family and these people that you actually have this built-up resentment from the past. And you say, I can't love that person. I can't love that person. I can't love my spouse the way that the Bible calls me to love my spouse. I can't give up my life for my wife as Jesus gave himself up for the church. I can't do that. I can't respect my husband. I can't love my wife. I can't love my kids because my kids have done this and this and this. Some of you kids say, I can't love my parents. I can't honor them. You don't know who my parents have done. And Jesus says, yes, you can through Christ who strengthens you. He gives you the ability. It is not from yourself. You were not born with this ability to love people. Actually, you were born with the complete opposite problem. You were full of hatred. You were full of bitterness. You were full of envy. You were full of greed. You were full of jealousy. And yet Jesus Christ came, and he gave you a way. And he said, through me and through me alone. Romans 7, Paul is saying this. He's talking about all his problems and how he can't do what he wants to do, how he tries really hard to do the things that are good, but he can't do them. And it seems like the harder he tries to do those things that are good, he ends up doing those things that are bad. And he's so confused. He doesn't know what to do. And he said, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He gives me the ability. He will rescue me. He grants me the power to be able to conquer sin and him alone. You guys capturing this today? You know, I find myself stuck in sin. I find myself stuck in situations where I say I need Christ. And I'm just so reminded all the time of the power of Christ. You see, some of us here maybe are tied to an addiction. You find yourself dependent on anything outside of your basic needs. and you say, I can't break them. Some of you have just a lazy nature. You've become very idle. You have a difficult time getting motivated. You get out of bed, you watch a lot of television, maybe too much television, and you say, that's just how I am. I'm an over-relaxer. Some of you are caught in lust. You're dealing with pornography and fantasizing. You're always looking. You're always looking. And you say, I'm always going to deal with this. Some of you have an angry nature about you. You say words that have hurt others. You even cause damage to yourself through your anger. Some of you are bitter. You feel hurt when you think about some person or some situation. Some of you deal with envy and jealousy. You have a difficult time being happy for others' success. Some of us have self-pity a lot. We're always focusing on ourselves. Everything always kind of comes back to me and my problems. Some of us deal with unforgiveness. We still feel that somebody owes me something. We can't forgive them of that debt. Some of us deal with gluttony. We have a problem with overeating. Now, there's the holiday time. We all have privilege to do that, right? But some of us deal with poor habits that have just led to this lifestyle of gluttony, and you say, I can't break it. It's just who I am. Some of us have gotten so caught up in gossip. We love talking poorly about others, telling secrets and reading about other people's problems, hearing other people's business, and you say, that's just how I am. But I'll tell you today, all these things, there is a God who can set you free from those things. You can't with your own strength, but you can with the strength that he provides. What a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to Jesus Christ, our Lord. So now we must ask the question, why? Why would Jesus be so concerned about this? Why would he concern himself, the God of the universe, with us? Now we read in Scripture that Jesus loves us as children. Now I don't know, some of you have children. I have a new son. Okay, he's like a year and a half old. And I'll tell you what, there is nobody in the world that I've ever experienced that kind of love for. You know, just the other night, I think I mentioned this to my friends at Celebrate Recovery. All right. That was weak, but whatever, okay. That was a puppy dog, but okay. Yeah. The other night, my son, he woke up and he was just screaming. It was like 2 a.m. He's just screaming at the very top of his lungs. Something was clearly wrong. Sometimes, you know, parenting, you got to kind of weigh this out. Do I go get him? Do I, you know, I don't, I want him to know that he needs to stay in bed. And kind of weigh in that, you know, as Emily and I were just like, you know, 2 a.m. I decided I was going to go get him, and I went up to his room and I grabbed him. He's just screaming at the very top of his lungs. Something was clearly wrong. It wasn't just a wake up. And I'll never forget, this is one of the greatest moments of my life. I grabbed him, picked him up out of bed, and he just wrapped his arms around me and immediately became quiet. And he just squeezed me. And if you know my son, you know he's not very cuddly, okay? Actually, he's offended a lot of people because of it. A lot of grandmas and aunts and all those things. But he just grabbed me and immediately he just fell back asleep. And I just held him. I just held him there for like 15 minutes. And this amount of love that I was feeling, it was like, nobody told me that I would experience this if I had a son. I mean, well, maybe they did, but you can't know it until you experience it. And I was experiencing it, and I'm like, this is amazing. And I was thinking, I would do anything for my son. I mean, without question, I would easily, in a heartbeat, lay down my life for him. I would give him everything that I felt like he needed. I would seriously surrender my whole life for him. And I think about this, and I felt like God was saying to me at this very moment, when I never felt love like this beyond this measure, and God was saying, Justin, the amount that you love your son Whitley, I love you way beyond that. Way beyond that, Justin. And I would give my life for you. I would do it all for you. I would give you everything. And I was overwhelmed by the sense of God's love. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a hard time receiving God's love because I think about the fact, well, I don't deserve it. I don't think I've done enough. I don't think I'm living fully for him. I know what goes on in my brain. You guys see what goes on in my face, but I know what's going on in my brain and what's going on in my heart. You see my actions, but I know my heart. And I say, God, I don't know if I can accept your love. He says, I love you. And I'll tell you what, the reason why God would allow anybody to have strength, why the God of the universe, who was over all creation, who looks at this little tiny planet, and he sees a little tiny speck, which is you, and he would even care about you, points to this, that God loves you so much. And it says this, that he loved you so much that he actually even sent his only son to die on your behalf so that you can have life. And so that you can have life abundantly, so that you don't have to wallow in sin any longer, so that you now can be free and you can enjoy life the way that it was intended. You can now be with him in heaven so that you can have relationship with him. God loves you so much that he's willing to give you whatever. It says in the Gospels, it says, which one of you, if you have a son and he asks him for a piece of bread, will give him a snake? Or which one of you, if you ask for a fish, will give him a scorpion? And he says, so then you who are evil, us, I'm evil, you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more is God willing to give good gifts to you? And in James 1, it says, you guess what? You don't have because you don't ask. If any of you are lacking strength, if you are lacking contentment, if you are lacking whatever it might be, and you would say, I can't do it. I can't walk the walk that I want to walk. God would say, I have it for you. I have it, and you have not because you ask not. I'm going to give it to you. He says that he gives freely and generously to all without finding fault. So when we ask God, he doesn't say, well, you haven't done this, and you haven't done this, and I need you to shape up here, and then maybe I'll reward you. He doesn't say that. He says he gives to all generously without finding fault. So what is our problem? We just don't ask. We just don't ask for his strength. And I think a lot of that is because we don't understand there's just love for us all the time. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there are some that are looking at this new year and you kind of defeated. Maybe you're at a point where you just like, this is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. Or these next 5 years, I'm always going to deal with this problem. And I'm telling you today, there's a God who wants to free you this morning. As we're looking at the new year and we're making resolutions to free you from those habits that have kept you down. God has called you to be to live a life of victory and freedom. And he's calling you to do that today. So we're going to have the worship team come on up here somewhere. And I would just want to offer anybody who might want prayer this morning, anybody who might want prayer, I'm going to just ask you to come on up. It doesn't have to be anything. Maybe if you come on up, nobody's going to think you're a horrible sinner. They're just going to recognize this, that you realize that you can't do things apart from God's strength and that you need it for whatever it might be today. So let's do this. Have everybody stand up. Now, at the end of the service here, right after this song, we're going to be collecting these Connect cards. And on this Connect card, it's a great place for you to write kind of maybe a little bit what's going on in your life, whatever it might be, and it's an opportunity for you to receive prayer. We pray for all these things every single Tuesday morning. We lift them up. It's an opportunity for you to say, okay, God, I'm going to commit this to you. I'm going to commit what's going on, and so hopefully you receive the Connect card. We're going to be collecting those, but I want to offer this. I want to offer anybody just the opportunity to receive prayer today. So maybe we can have a few of our leaders come on up here. If you're a community group leader or a ministry leader, let's have you come on up. And today is just going to be an opportunity for you to receive prayer. Don't be bashful. So let's do this. Let's bow our heads. And I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Some of you are realizing just how empty you are. And you're realizing that you need refreshment, that you need to be re-energized, that you need to be full again of the love of God, of the joy that he gives freely and the strength that he provides. And you would say, yes, God, I want to be free. I want to walk freely again. And I'm just going to invite you just to come to the front, find somebody who pray with you. Feel free to come on up. have some people here that would love to pray with you. Thank you for coming forward in confidence and boldness. Thank you. We're going to experience some freedom today. Awesome. Awesome. Somebody else receives prayer today. Father, thank you. Oh, let's all pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can only do things through you. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you that you love us unconditionally. Father, we praise you for your work that you're doing in the lives of all of our hearts. And God, this year, as we're looking at all these different things that we want with our lives and how we want them to look, God, I pray that we continue to rely on you for all of our sustenance. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hey, let's all sing this worship song together as these guys are praying.